Greetings from the top floor, somewhere level with the treetops. We are extending on a topic that's been touched on earlier in the context of individual purification as a precondition for progress and mental and physical balance. We briefly touched on the need to purify the body, both subjectively and in actions, and speech, and the different layers of the mind. Now, this purification does not exist in a void. There is a context in the interactive world that we are living in. None of us has phased out on the mountaintop in a cave, never to be seen again. We are all returning to the world of the living and encountering countless sentient beings with their respective issues that we need to orient to have a productive and wholesome attitude with. So in here, we come to the topic of integrated ethics, the art and the skill of balanced, well-rounded action that leads to benefit both for the individual and the collective, the totality of all living beings. Now, this kind of a universal ethic, it is not something that can be prescribed by a text or by a law book or by social convention or tradition. It is something that has to be contemplated on and directly witnessed as being beneficial in equal measure for all living beings. It does not matter if the Buddha said, you should not lie, you should speak the true word. It does not matter if Jesus said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and share equally between yourself and your neighbor. It does not matter what Confucius said. It does not matter what Donald Duck said. We are not here resigning responsibility. We are certainly students of the law. They all have their merits, but all of these guidelines need to be extracted, reflected upon in light of your best judgment, in light of your conscience, contemplating on the dynamic of application of certain principles, and only then adopting it as an ethical principle that you yourself stand by, that is a principle that you affirm in, that you will not budge with. It has to come from within you. It has to be verified within your heart, within the brightest of your minds, in order to be sustainable. Now, I suppose we took upon ethical principles in reference to others. And now, then what about in that tradition, according to them, the Buddha said actually like this, and in another commentary they said like that, and then what about actually Jesus was 2,000 years ago, or was the son of an ancient sun god brought from Egypt, or maybe he wasn't, or maybe he was a creature of visions, and maybe the apostles had different opinions, and da-da-da-da-da, and maybe Donald Duck was cancelled. So then where are you? You have no standing. You have built your foundations on top of the sayings of others rather than on top of what you yourself have deemed to be good and fit, and taken responsibility for your evaluation and for every action that follows. This is a mature platform. Aim for that. Do not aim for cloning others, imitating other beings referring to the sayings of howsoever wise the wise man may be, witness unto yourself. Okay? Then we come to the orientation of such a universal ethic. The common problem we face in this world with people, howsoever good, is that they are always and inherently self-referencing and self-centered. The bottom line is always, ultimately, what's in it for me? I am the sacred navel of the universe, and I will negotiate a means, a manner of living, of coexistence with other beings, as long as my self-interest is not compromised. This, in a nutshell, is the orientation we typically face in this world. And there's something fundamentally wrong here from that orientation outward because of the complexities of the human psyche and the fundamentally raw and animal drive that often dominate somewhere at the bottom of our awareness, actually implementing something that is wholesome and fair for everyone is very complicated because you yourself are the obstacle. In here, we're looking at the individual separated self, not contrasted with the interest of the collective, the totality of living beings, but rather, here we have the totality, and you are one among the many. You, just as the other being, are parts of significance in a single system. And as such, there is no question of selflessness in the sense of self-deprecation. Oh, I shall be the martyr, I shall be the sacrificing and the worthless and the one that is trodden down to give way for others. This is false humility. It is simply the counterpart of the self-aggrandizing drive. You either uplift yourself or you put down yourself. Why can you not just be level with everyone else? Is it so complicated to conceive that this perpetual seeking an assertion of contrast is not a premise we need to pursue? I am just as important as you or the other person. And here we have food. Not less for me a portion, for them a portion, for them a portion. Conditions considered, if I have already eaten, then maybe I don't need. But if I have not eaten and the other person has not eaten, then equal portions for everyone. Basically, other things being equal. Self-dignity, as much as the dignity of every other being. That is the general guideline that keeps you solid, wholesome unto yourself, and on a fair plane, on a just plane, with everyone else. All right? In here, there is a certain system of unity. Just as the cells in our bodies, the organs in our bodies, form a certain whole, a being that looks approximately like me or like you. Likewise, we have an ecosystem where the interaction of all sentient beings, plant life, animal life, human life, the soil, bacterial life, microbes, etc., form a unity. And in that unity, there are collective needs that supersede the need of any individual plant or animal or human. And so onward, we look at greater spheres and greater spheres where the solar system as a whole, the planet as a whole, is an entity, is a system of unity. The solar system, the galaxy, etc., the whole universe, is an interactive system of unity in which each part plays a role, and each part, if they assert separation from the commonality, from the system, then they are essentially broken. The system will carry on, more likely than not, but the individual disconnected is broken, is defunct, harvests misery from elevating or attempting to elevate themselves as separate above the others, more important than the others on a fundamental level. Okay, so integrative ethics, where our concern is the concern of the other being and so forth. We are being holistic in our ethical outlook rather than self-serving. In here, there are certain fundamental rights. Rights of every being under their own bodies, to their property, whatever that they have justly acquired. They have the right for self-expression. They have the right for freedom. And they have the right for truth. Importantly, truth is a fundamental right. Knowledge, equal education, well, that depends on the context, but truth in itself, knowing what is what, not being subject to manipulation, gaslighting, not being forced to live in a fog where it is difficult to orient. The right for truth is fundamental for all living beings. Okay? And in here, all of these principles, they have their positive and negative application, the do's and the do-nots, right? For example, truth. Well, speak the truth. Do speak the truth and do not tell lies, right? Or if you cannot do either, at least be quiet. That is better than opening your mouth and letting falsehoods come out. Again, do not steal. And also secure what truly belongs to others. Or at least do not engage, if uncertain, what the right course of action would be, rather than erring on the side of, well, more for me is better. That is the error in your ways. Okay? And likewise, do not harm other beings through your deeds, through your words, etc. Instead, try to heal them. Try to do good. Try to do things that contribute to their well-being. And if you cannot do good, at least do not do harm. No action, neutral action. That is all. Very basic. Guidelines. Speak truth, do not lie. Do not steal. Help secure what belongs to others. Do not harm. Try to heal. Alright? Not very complicated. And these are easily discovered as being of substance through your contemplation, and you will find when you tell the truth to others, they are more likely in turn to tell the truth to you. Again, you do not harm others and others will not harm you. You do not take from them, and instead you give them, even without asking. And why would they still be inclined to take from you, except for the most twisted of individual. If we are looking at the general, commonplace behavior, a reflection of virtue, when cultivated, will happen and good things will come to you through your good course of action. Okay? Now in here, life is life and mistakes happen, oversights happen, accidents happen. In here, what is essential, the core principle is your intention, your volition. Right? Do not intentionally do what you know to be wrong. And also, do not be lazy in understanding what is right and wrong. In here, ignorance, willing ignorance, is not an excuse. Simply having not understood better, despite best efforts, well, that is an excuse, and excusable, and that is the path to progress and the growth of wisdom. Intention is the ultimate measure of are you good or are you evil, not the particular state and level and thoroughness of insight and wisdom that you currently hold. Okay? Now in here, there is a certain field of action that we're looking at. The interactive, interconnected field of a system of sentience, the unity in the interactions of all sentient beings. In here, what are we? As noted earlier, we're certainly parts of the collective, acting in our the roles given. But beyond that, there is great merit in becoming a mirror of the collective. Whatever that are the needs, anywhere and everywhere, through a connection of empathy. I feel that, and with the application of my wisdom, I know how to fit into that in order to improve things, in order to make the world a better place, wherever that I may land. Being a mirror to all things, this field that we enter, the field is wherever we go, the particular contexts and conditions of the situation, of the beings in the situation. In all of that, there are natural and obvious needs. And in those needs, there is a certain calling. And when you attune to the world with an orientation, with a mindset of how can I contribute anywhere, anyhow, then this calling will become louder and you will, without consideration for your ego, enter the different roles, enter the different tasks demanded, called for by the different situations you enter. And through that, through resigning from your self-reference, self-conception, and incarnating, in a manner of speaking, into a context, becoming the character that the situation needs, and contributing accordingly. Now in here there is no deception, there is no camouflage. You are the infinity. You have millions of possible roles, and the entirety of you does not appear on the stage at any given time. Necessarily, the context into which we enter constrains our being, and then the wise thing to do in service of the context is to adjust, to adapt, to be flexible and be what is required of you. That fluidity of the self is something to cultivate. Now in here, so what do I get from it, me, right? Always comes back to that, right? If I were to live by this lofty philosophy of being the mirror of the universe and fluid and flexible in every direction, would I not be torn apart like the clouds scattered by the gales, the steel winds of the harsh world? No. In here, without this being a condition for your action, there is a natural dynamic where, in wherever you contribute to the collective, being a reflector of the collective, then every bit of relief that is accomplished, every bit of merit, joy, that follows all evolution that is affected through your contribution, since you are the mirror of the world, these are reflected back to you. And when your contributions ripple on and ripple on and ripple on and branch forward, then you are not poorer, you are richer. All of that is reflected to you without there being any loss in the recipients. There is a multiplication of the merit happening through this stance. I am the flexible mirror of all things. So it is substantial, right? It is much more substantial than each for their own. Grab as much as you can and try not to damage others too much in the process. I mean, this is a pitiable orientation to life compared to the vastness and the volume of good fruits that can be gained through a broad-minded, integrated self opening, self reflecting stance. Okay? I wanted to say self eliminating. And that is true, but also not. There is a self-elimination in our attachment to a particular ego, regardless, given that we are not born out of a void. We come here with a particular configuration, particular abilities, particular traits. All of these define the functional, the operative ego, as in identity or identities. These identities function, but they function without attachment to a particular sense of the self. This self-attachment, that should be eliminated, but a particular configuration of being is necessary for operating in this world, so still creatures of a particular shape and character we are, and that's fine. Nothing to be shy there, nothing to be worried about. We are all characters of sorts, and that's necessary, and that is the beauty of the world. Just don't get caught up on it. Okay? In here, the mindset itself in which we operate within this broader orientation, there are a couple of basic parameters to mind. First, attachment. Now, attachment is a negative trait. Attachment is a hindrance. Both attachment to particular views on how things must be, otherwise nothing, or attachment, as mentioned earlier, to the finite ego, the self-serving ego. Detachment. Detachment and resignation from particular assertions, and rather letting the assertion of how things ought to be arise from situations themselves. All things have a natural intellect, wisdom, knowledge contained, and when they interact, they bring into being a certain field of wisdom that guides you without your having to meddle with it. Take it as it is, and whatever that you do will fit like a hand in a glove. Your actions will be seamless. Okay? So, attachment versus detachment. And then, intention of goodwill. Now, what is goodwill? In here, we mean specifically goodwill as a mature intention for others to live good, wholesome lives, harmonic, and in tune with the sorts of ethics that we have been discussing, and thereby be free of their burdens, be free of their miseries. This kind of goodwill, not random goodwill, not founded on anything, but goodwill that is mature, that leads to the lasting benefit of other beings. Goodwill instead of malice or bad will, ill will, where we wish for harm or obstacles to come to others. Okay? Fairly basic. And ultimately, we're looking at understanding. If you enter a situation without understanding, what can you expect? You can only expect confusion and conflict to follow. You may be lucky and get away with it, but it is better to be equipped with wisdom, understanding, and insight in a given situation, instead of ignorance, willful ignorance, or simply delusion, being stuck in our fog, too distracted by our internal porridge, that the thought of even thinking about it never rose to the surface. Clear away the clouds. Come to a point where you always have your eyes open. You enter each situation and each interaction equipped with wisdom and insight, including the insight within you, and attentive to the insight that is emergent in any given situation, in any given individual. Okay? So in here, we have looked at detachment, attachment, goodwill, ill will, and understanding versus ignorance. These should always be guiding us as the basic supports of our awareness. They will carry you to a better place in your interactions. Now, insight or understanding, it's obviously an elaborate matter. It's something that we will get to in due time, but this understanding is both an understanding of the constitution of other beings, their makeup, their traits, their character, then the context of the other beings, from their past, also their present context, their constraints, their challenges, their conditioning, etc. And also the context of the immediate situation before you. And based on constitution of beings, context of beings, a necessary part of understanding and wisdom is foresight. Looking into the future of these beings in consequence of our actions before taking the action. If I were to act like this, my friend would go that way, and if I were to act like that, my friend would go this way. One of these would be a good path that would meet with happiness and freedom from grief. The other path would be a path of challenges, difficulties, and unnecessary burdens. So let me evaluate in a mature manner, reflecting the heart and the mind of my friend, connected with threads of empathy. And from that, I will find the good course into my future and into his future through an encounter that is mutually beneficial. Okay? In here, as the outcome of absorbing these sorts of ethical considerations, frameworks of awareness, harmonic and mutually beneficial existence and interaction are possible. And what's more, I mean, this is obviously just the harmonic interaction in itself is worthy of pursuit. But what goes beyond this, through this purity in action, there is a gradual shedding of the veils that blind our vision to deeper and deeper levels of integration, of unity and of purity. They are a path to discovering the pure and fundamental aspects, elements, dynamics in existence in each and every phenomena that presents itself before us. There is nothing that is worthless. Everything in front of you is a fantastic treasure. If only you have the eyes to see, if you have torn the veils through self-purification and through purification of all your interaction. Okay? So that is something to contemplate on, something to practice. After having contemplated on that unto yourself, extracted whatever in all that was said you deem to be of merit, worthy of being put into practice and into action, and by no measure and no means with reference to the man with a beard sitting somewhere on the construction platform of a building in a trying to pose with a palm tree saying, no, don't take that as your point of reference. Take your own proper mature evaluation of anything and everything as your ultimate authority point of reference, because only by that you own up your actions and the contents of your mind, and you claim responsibility for yourself. When things go well, when things go bad, you and you alone are the one to blame or the one to praise. That is you. I have no role in your doings. I simply speak what I have reflected on, what I may have experienced, and put it on the table, not into you. You take it from the table and contemplate, digest what you consider nutritious, you absorb, and what not, you pass out as excrement. Okay? So, we have looked at the basis, an unprescribed, self-discovered, self-evident, integrated basis of ethics, where self is equal in the collective, in a greater unity, in an interactive system of all existence in increasingly extended spheres. Then we've looked at the rights that are fundamental to this body, the safety of this body itself, the property, justly acquired possessions, to self-expression, to freedom in general, and the right to truth. And these are practiced positively and negatively. Do tell truth, do not lie, do heal, do not harm, do give and guard, do not take and steal. Okay? Again, the intention is what counts. Your good intention is the ultimate evaluating base of whether you have done good or evil. On this field of interaction, we are a mirror of all living beings, their needs, their wants, of the entire system of interaction. And we, with the fluidity of self, without attachment to a particular self-conception, a particular ego, we fluidly enter into situations and contribute our level best, and again return to our broader self until the call from the next context awakens us to action, and into that we incarnate, doing what we can to help other beings. And in here we act not out of attachment, we are detached, doing our duty as embodied conscious beings, phenomena of the universe, unto the universe, with goodwill that is mature and leads to the harmonic states of existence, well-being, freedom from misery, etc. of others, and not under any conditions acting out of malice, ill will, in order to actually generate harm to others. Again, with a mature understanding of conditions of others, and with foresight into how our actions would impact their futures, and tuning our interaction accordingly. That is the measure of things today, and there we shall conclude. All right?